today on the Pure Sweat Basketball Show.
You know, prepare them for the next level so that they ultimately have long, successful careers in the NBA.
Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym.
Turn my headphones up!
Let's eliminate the will to win and think about the will to prepare to win.
That's how winning is done.
It's about being a great teammate. It's about being accountable to one another. It's about being tough. It's about doing the right things for each other, but it's about doing it every day.
This is Reese Davis from ESPN, and you're listening to the Pure Sweat Basketball Show.
What's up, gang? It's Alan Stein, and welcome to the Pure Sweat Basketball Show, where every episode is a micro-clinic aimed to serve the basketball community. This show is brought to you by Dr. Dish, the designers of the best shooting machine in the game. In today's episode, I begin a conversation with Pure Sweat CEO, founder, and the best strategic skills coach in the game, my good friend Drew Hanlon. But before we get started, did you know that Crossover is literally changing the game by offering professional film breakdown services at a price that high school programs can afford? Film your games, upload the video, let Crossover work their magic. That's all you have to do. Visit crossoverwithak.com to see what thousands of programs are raving about. All right, let's flip the mics on with Drew Hanlon. Now, Drew, you've been putting in some major work over the past couple of months getting NBA players or NBA draftees ready for the draft. What makes NBA pre-draft workouts slightly different than any other workouts throughout the year?
You know, the first thing is we have so much time together, and a lot of times, you know, over the summer, NBA guys will obviously spend a good portion of their summer with me training, but they also have other commitments, whether that's, you know, going overseas to improve their brand globally, or whether that's team commitments or just different things that they have to do, you know, just to make sure that they continue to elevate their brand off the court. So during the pre-draft, we really have 2.5 to 3 months where we are all basketball all the time. Obviously they have to go out and work out for teams, so there are little breaks starting in June, but before June, really all of April, all of May is, you know, 2 days with me on the court. And then they also have, you know, weight training sessions 4 days a week. They have massage therapy, they have yoga, they have you know, nutrition plans. It's just literally the best time to get better, because everything that they're doing is focused on one thing, and that's getting them as good as they can in a short period of time.
I love it. Now, we'll avoid using specific names, but you've got a couple of guys that will go in the lottery and in the first round, a couple of guys possibly second round, and maybe a player or two that may not get drafted but will probably have some good summer league looks. So you've got a pretty wide spectrum of talent. Can you give us kind of an overview of how you try to approach that when you've got half a dozen guys of varying levels with varying goals?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is our schedule is broken down. We're basically Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, we do 2 days on the court and then lifting off the court. Wednesdays, we normally do like a lighter basketball workout, and Saturdays, we do a lighter basketball workout. And those 2 days are kind of recovery days. So we'll make sure that we include some kind of either stretching, massage therapy, or yoga on those days as well. And then Sunday's completely off, just to make sure that we continue to manage the load of their body. You know, because managing the workload is so important during the process, so they don't get burnt out. I always say it, but they got to be at their best when they need to be at their best. And sometimes, you know, if you push it too hard early on, their body fatigues. And when they start working out for teams, you know, they're kind of drained. So that's kind of what the schedule looks like. But most of the stuff we do is individual work, because it gives us a chance to really lock in on the skills that that they'll need for the next level individually. I think that so many times if you put these guys in group workouts, yeah, they might get a lot of shots up, they might get in good cardio, but they don't really, you know, get better. And for me, I have two goals during the pre-draft process. The number one goal is to put them in a position to succeed during these team workouts so that they can get drafted in the best possible fit on draft night. And then two is to prepare them for the next season so that when they, you know, do get their chance to play in games as a rookie, you know, they can provide valuable minutes that help their team ultimately win. And that's going to help them more in the long run. I think that that's the part that some other trainers or some other training programs kind of miss, is that the goal is not just to get them drafted high. It's to, you know, prepare them for the next level so that they ultimately have long, successful careers in the NBA.
Absolutely love that. And again, we don't want to dive into the specifics of players, but does each workout kind of have a theme or a major goal? So you've got your two-a-days on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. What can you kind of give us a breakdown of what you're trying to do during each one of those workouts? Is one of them more emphasizing, say, shooting? Another one maybe decision-making? Maybe another one more on ball handling?
Yeah, so the morning workouts are usually skill workouts. So that's focused on whatever we think that they need for the next level. That could mean, you know, for some guys, if they're going to be kind of 3-and-D players, that we really work on, you know, moving without the ball. We work on different spacing shots. We work on extending their range, because obviously the NBA three-point line is so much further back than the college three-point line. We work on attacking closeouts. We work on making decisions off the catch, stuff like that. If they're a guy that's going to come in and be you know, asked to get buckets in an isolation situation or mid-post situation, we'll obviously include those situations as well. But really, to simplify it, I would always say the morning skill workout is usually geared to the skills that they're going to need to be able to do the next season to help their team have a better chance at winning. And then at night, what we do is we get up a bunch of shots. Usually, we'll try to make at least 250 NBA threes, and then we'll throw in game shots as well. But the 250 threes that we're doing are you know, heavily focused on spot-up shots, catch, and just side dribbles, left and right, and then also deep threes, because the NBA continues to expand, you know, where obviously these athletes that are in the gaps and, you know, helping out, they can close out so much faster. So if you're able to shoot a couple feet behind the line, you're going to end up getting more clean looks, and you obviously see how much success the Warriors and both the Cavs are having with the players that can kind of stress the defense by shooting 2 to 3 feet behind the line.
Absolutely. Love that. Now, when deciding what offensive moves and skill sets the player needs, how much are you just relying on your own expertise, which obviously is off the charts, and how much of that are you having dialogue with some of the NBA teams that they'll probably get drafted by to decide what they need to do?
Yeah, I mean, this is my 6th year doing pre-draft, and obviously I've been training forever. So now I have a really good understanding of kind of what they're going to be, what each player is going to be at the next level. But I also do kind of piggyback off some of the feedback that I'm hearing from the teams. And then we also dive into different concepts after each workout. So if one of my players goes and works out for a specific NBA team, the first thing I do when they come back is I ask them, hey, is there anything that tripped you up? Is there anything that you struggled with? And if they threw out something that they weren't prepared for, we always attack that first. But other than that, we lock in on players that we think that they can be. So if we have a guy that, you know, might be a 3-and-D guy, but he has a good build and everything like that, you know, we'll make sure we're working on defense every single day. We'll make sure that we're working on the shots that we see other players that play like them at the next level are getting. And then the final thing we do is just make sure that they're prepared for all the drills that they're going to see in these workouts. Even if teams throw out stuff that they might not necessarily do the following year, they might just be testing them. We got to make sure we're fully prepared for those as well.
Awesome. I love it. Now, obviously, I'm biased. I mean, I think you run the best workouts and the best pre-draft, in the world. Talk to us about film, because I know that's something that's always been a major separator for you, but also a separator for the players you work with and preparing them for the next level. So what role does film play during the pre-draft process?
Really, I've made film a lot more detailed than ever before the last couple summers. You know, I used to just show them NBA film of kind of the things that they were doing, and we'd watch it and then we'd go do it. That was kind of the first phase of it. The second phase of it is I hired Sam Lamone to be on court with me at all times. So he's filming every single workout that we do so that we can basically go back and watch all of the, you know, things that we've done. And so players can see the little minute flaws that they have in their game so that we can ultimately tighten up, you know, the little nuances and perfect the stuff that we do. And then the third phase was, now when we're doing film, a lot of times I'll pause the clips and ask questions and make the players kind of figure out what they're doing on their own so that ultimately they get a deeper understanding of the game of basketball. And I know that that's one thing that take away my pre-draft, because I don't want to put any names out there, but Zach LaVine has been out with an ACL injury, and that's one thing we've been really locking in on is just getting him better at ball screen reads by the use of film. You know, I'll pause the clip basically at the point of the screen and ask him, hey, progressively point to who you're going to read first, second, third, and fourth. And he'll have to point as quickly as possible. My eyes are going to go here, then they're going to go here, then they're going to go here, and then they're going to go here. And just through that simple process of just identifying where your eye should be and what your read should be, this helps him a ton at kind of accurately predicting what is going to happen, you know, 3-4 seconds later in the play.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I know that separates you is, and we've talked before on previous episodes, that you're not just doing a bunch of drills, that you're actually creating and teaching skills, and you're doing so through decision making, which is, you know, one of the most fundamental aspects of the game. I think that's phenomenal. I've actually never been to an NBA pre-draft workout, not yours, but what the NBA teams put the players through. Can you kind of give us an overview of what one of your players goes through when they show up for an NBA team's workout?
It really depends on the team and kind of the front office and what they value, but the majority of the teams really just want to, one, test your cardio. Two, they want to kill you and see how you respond to adversity. And then three, they want to see you shoot game shots at full speed. Four, they want to make you make decisions. So they'll have a bunch of coaches out there that are, you know, jumping left, jumping right, making you finish around the rim with different, you know, finishing options. And the last thing is they want to see you compete. They'll always throw you out there with other prospects and just see how you, you know, go head to head with guys. But those are pretty much the five main themes. And a lot of times you'll see guys, you know, see teams that just absolutely kill the players conditioning wise. And then they start the workout after that because they want to see how guys respond when they're tired, how guys, you know, kind of mentally can handle, you know, being kind of punked early on in the workout. And by the time that they get these players in their workouts, they already know what a player can do on the court. They've seen them live multiple times throughout the college season. They've, you know, obviously done all their film work. They've talked to 10 sources at least about how good of a basketball player they are. And so they've done their evaluations. Now they're just kind of seeing how are you as a person? Have you made some changes since this college season ended? And then how do you compete when you're tired and fatigued and gassed against other guys that also are trying to accomplish their wildest dream of being an NBA player? And I think it's a cool dynamic. It also throws a lot of stress on the players and a lot of fatigue on the player's body early on in the process, because some of these guys might have up to 15 workouts in a 30-day period, which it does. It also shows them kind of what they can expect from guys during an 82-game season, which they're not used to.
I love that. It's pretty cool to hear that they're really looking for the intangibles, you know, how they can fight through adversity, what type of grit they have, how hard they compete. So what else do you do to try to make sure your guys are fully prepared for that? What type of situations do you create to increase their competitive nature and to put them through adversity before they're going to face it when they go to these NBA teams?
Yeah, I absolutely put my guys through a blender. I mean, I just tear them up like crazy, and they all, you know, they all laugh. And my NBA guys kind of have a saying that, you know, Andrew Wiggins created. He basically said, you know, there's different levels of being in shape. There's out of shape, there's in shape, there's game shape, and then there's Drew shape. And, you know, for me, I just make sure my guys are in the absolute best shape possible by absolutely killing them early on in the process. You know, obviously, my focus is teaching them so that they ultimately improve. And improvement is the number one goal and should always be the number one goal in workouts. But also, I make sure that all of the things that we're doing are absolutely full speed once they perfect the skills that we're working on. So that, and I also make sure that the workout is so up tempo that when they go into these team workouts, most of my guys actually say, hey, listen, everybody else was trying to catch their second wind and couldn't breathe. And I was out there talking, you know, communicating, being loud, because I had went through way worse with you. So I think that's the biggest thing that I can do for these guys is just get them in basketball shape and NBA basketball shape so that they can continue to do the things that they need to do when they're tired and when everyone else is fatigued.
Now, you recently held your own pro day with your guys, and you had a ton of NBA personnel and scouts and GMs and so forth come through. Can you talk a little bit about what a pro day looks like and what GMs and scouts are actually looking for to evaluate your guys?
Yeah, actually, most GMs and scouts hate pro days because they're basically scripted, glorified workouts where majority of the time all they do is dunk and maybe shoot spot-up shots. But I take a little different approach, and I just show these, you know, the scouts how hard of workers my guys are. And so, you know, I'll take a guy if he's a, you know, basically in the top half of the first round, we'll do individual workouts where it's 1-on-0, and we'll go for 45 minutes nonstop, no water breaks, just getting after it, like going through everything that they can offer teams at the next level. And if they're guys outside of the top 15, you know, that 15 to 30 range or second rounders, then we'll add in competition stuff as well so that teams can see them compete. And sometimes what it does is allows them to show that, you know, they really are tough. And I think that, you know, my pro days are really, 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 really up tempo. They're probably a lot more tough than even the teams would throw at them. But what it does is it kind of gives appreciation. The scouts have appreciation for how hard these guys, my guys, work on a daily basis.
Now, talk to us about the shift that's about to come up. The draft's coming up, and you're going to have 5 or 6 guys drafted. And then you've also got your stable of NBA guys, your Zach LaVines, Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Clarkson, that whole crew. And they'll all be coming back to work with you. So talk to us about what the second half of summer is going to look like for you and how you structure workouts now that you've got these, you know, brand new rookies, but then you've also got your veterans coming back.
Yeah, it definitely shifts focus, and it already has a little bit just because most of my draft guys are off away, you know, testing with different teams and stuff like that. So I have probably 5 or 6 pros already here starting to work out. The other, you know, probably 6-7 guys that'll come in town will start up in the next 2 weeks. And then we'll have a third batch of guys that are kind of recovering from injuries come in the following, you know, probably around July 1. But really, I mean, then it comes time just to all about improvement. You know, obviously the NBA guys have a very good understanding of what their role is going to be the following season. And so we lock in on no more than 3 areas and really try to improve in those 3 areas. So each guy has their different focus. Each guy has their different goals. And we sit down, we go over film of the previous season together. We talk about what I see. We talk about what they see. We talk about what their coach and front office wants the following season. And then we put together a kind of a strategic plan to attack, you know, no more than 3 areas, and then lock in on those and get really, really good at them. So hopefully they're an improved player the following season.
Well, that's it. Show's over. Thank you so much for investing your time with us. I hope we helped you raise your game. Make sure you check back next episode as I finish my chat with Drew Hanlon. Big shout out to Dr. Dish for revolutionizing purposeful training with their innovative shooting machines. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com. All right, it's time to get back in the gym.